This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Tomorrow marks the first anniversary of the downing of Malaysian Airlines Flight MH17. The tragedy claimed 298 lives. Yet 1 year on, the cause and the culprits are still unidentified. Earlier this week, Malaysia and other member states of the joint investigating team urged the United Nations Security Council to establish an international criminal tribunal to try those responsible for the tragedy. In a press release issued on Tuesday afternoon, Malaysia expressed hope that the tribunal would ensure justice for the victims and their loved ones. Binoy Kampmark is an international security expert at RMIT University in Melbourne, Australia.
The nature of this tribunal would take international jurisdictional force according to the UN Charter. So the idea behind this international tribunal is that it would be established under Chapter 7 of the UN Charter, supposedly to deal with matters connected with international security and order. So that's the first step. That's certainly what Malaysia, Australia, Belgium, Netherlands and Ukraine have put forth in the resolution that's circulating in the UN. It's yet to be put to the vote.
We asked Binoy if a tribunal is difficult to establish.
So to establish such tribunals, it is possible, but it also needs a lot of will and it needs resources, and it also needs the understanding from all sides concerned that they will be interested in prosecuting, of course, the individuals concerned. And we saw that with, for example, the International Tribunal for Rwanda, and we saw that with the International Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia, that these tribunals can be created through the United Nations, but they can only really exist with UN resources and the backing of countries connected with this particular process. And so the issue with the MH17 tribunal will be, of course, whether there is that will that's going to be behind pursuing that matter and that agenda of prosecution. So you can already see that the focus on this is that the act concerned endangered international peace and security, and it did so by targeting a civil carrier across the zone. So the argument is that in so doing, this creates a tribunal which needs to then try an offence that happens in there.
In a written response to BFM, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs said that Malaysia is already negotiating with member states of the joint investigating team to draft a resolution for the tribunal's establishment. The ministry notes that it will be a challenge to get the agreement of members of the Security Council for a tribunal with, and I quote, a strong legal framework to enable the criminals to be charged, prosecuted and sentenced. However, the draft resolution is already facing opposition from Russia. It's taking the position that a tribunal is premature and counterproductive since an investigation is still in progress.
There's a big chance that should it go to the vote, and we shouldn't prejudge this, but should it go to the vote, of course, in establishment, Russia's in all likelihood going to oppose it because it is a permanent member on the UN Security Council. Even though, you know, for example, Vitaly Churkin, that's Russia's permanent representative to the United Nations, and has said that such international tribunals have never been created dealing with the destruction or the attack on civilian aircraft. But by the same token, there have also been other statements being made that there is will there to consider the report. And I think it's important to note that the statements being made, for example, by Julie Bishop, the Australian Foreign Minister, about establishing this tribunal is a bit premature because we have yet to even receive the final report on what happened.
So let's go back to the question of a tribunal. What can Malaysia gain if it's set up?
We only have essentially a very sketchy proposal in paper at the moment as to what the tribunal would supposedly do. But, you know, one of the possibilities might be compensation, but the nub of the issue behind the member states behind this resolution is the idea of finding, and this is the thing, it's finding a criminal actor, it's finding criminal agency, who was responsible for it. The reality of it is that we may never find who exactly fired the trigger. We may never find out who exactly released the particular, you know, the book anti-aircraft missile system. You know, we at best can only hope for compensation, apology and whatnot.
While this tribunal may offer justice to the MH17 victims, its establishment could have implications for similar incidents in the future.
We have to think about what the broader implications of this would be. Does that mean that other aircraft that are downed in this way would also then have to be treated in this particular criminal jurisdiction? Because as terrible as it is, many mistakes do happen aircraft are shot in conflict zones, and the question has to be asked whether this needs a criminal jurisdiction in the international sense to deal with.
While there's no precedent for a tribunal, advocates might refer to the case of the downing of Iran Air Flight 665. The plane was shot by an American naval carrier in Iranian airspace. The 1988 incident was resolved with compensation paid by the United States to the victims' families.
That tends to be the usual channel pursued when a civilian airliner becomes a victim in this particular case, namely compensation to the families concerned. Of course, the airliner is responsible through its own policies, but then the country whose particular agents or particular emissaries have been involved in this can offer compensation as well. That's certainly an accepted international law precedent. But in terms of an international tribunal of this sort, we have not seen this sort of thing before regarding international aviation. This would be certainly very new.
Binoy, however, is concerned that the criminal presumptions of the tribunal may overlook industry-wide issues that have greater impact.
Very understandable that we want our citizens to be accounted for and we need to find out who pulled the trigger. But the tribunal is not going to be particularly constructive in finding that, because I don't actually think much is going to come out from that enterprise alone. It needs to be a broader constructive effort on aviation safety and issues about conflict zones and aviation in those conflict zones. We're probably far more constructive looking at a broader context of aviation safety. You have to remember that when the plane was shot down, various aviation authorities had already warned of Ukraine being, especially the eastern corridor of Ukraine, being a high-risk area to fly in. So there may be a broader issue in terms of aviation safety and implications of that, of which all the parties concerned are involved somehow.
That was Bernard Kampmark, senior lecturer at RMIT University in Melbourne. He's also a member of the Australian Institute of International Affairs. I'm Sharad Kutan, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.